This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on? Jason Cutter here, and we're going to continue our journey on this series that I've been doing around the mystery shopping program that I ran. If you haven't caught the previous episodes, please make sure to listen to those, watch those, find those wherever you found this. It's so important because it's all building on each other. I'm going to talk about the hope step and the authentic persuasion pathway. And if you have no idea what any of that means, then you need to make sure and get the previous episodes so you understand the foundation and the fundamentals of where we are now. Now, if you're tuning in and you don't want to check out those other episodes and you're just here for a bunch of hope, understand that this is the hope that you're supposed to be giving to your prospective customers as a sales professional. Now, why would I use the word hope? Why are we talking about hope? That seems kind of weird, might not make sense, but it will by the time we're done with this conversation. Now, this the basis of what I'm talking about is two things. One is the authentic persuasion pathway model that I have built and proven to be successful in any sales process, in any industry, in any vertical, in any sales cycle. So that's one of it. And then the other part is I ran a campaign where we did a mystery shopping program and mystery shopped over 100 financial services, debt relief, credit repair, and insurance companies to find out what their processes actually feel like from a sales experience, from a customer perspective, and then put this insight in available so that people can learn from this, those companies, and anyone who's in sales or leadership. Now, the first three stages of the authentic persuasion pathway we've covered is rapport, empathy, trust, which was on the previous episode, and now we're at hope. What is the hope step? Well, it's not the hope that a lot of people in sales have, that they hope if they get people to like them and they build enough rapport and they build a relationship then and they build some trust, they hope that person will buy from them. It's not the hope of the order taker. It's not the hope of the salesperson who is just hoping that if they make enough phone calls, if they talk to enough people, if they play the numbers game, if they build enough rapport, if they ask enough questions, or they go through enough slides, or they go through their demo enough times, and they hope that that will hit their numbers. Not that hope. That hope is terrible. That hope is not effective, and you cannot win in anything you do in life that you want to be successful on a hope strategy like that, right? Imagine if you wanted to be a professional athlete, like an NBA player in the NBA, getting paid a lot of money. Would you hope that you could make it, or would you put in the effort to make sure that you could make it, right? And that's what separates the people who are in the NBA and the ones who are not, is that. Now, obviously, there's a margin. There's only so many people that can play in any professional sport in anywhere in the world. And so there's the people who are going to make it and not. But clearly, it's more than just hope. So we're not talking about the hope that a lot of salespeople have when they come in on a Monday morning and they go, I hope this is going to be a good week. I hope I can close some deals. I hope some people call me back. That one is dangerous. That's not this. This is the hope that you're providing to your prospective customers. This is you saying, I know as your guide how to get you over the finish line, up the mountain to a better place, either out of pain or towards a goal that you have, whatever that is, because it could be either one. You could be selling the same product, and sometimes people are wanting to get out of pain. Sometimes people are going to use your product or service to achieve a goal. It all depends. And if you just sell on fear all the time, that's also not a good strategy. Hope is what you're going to be giving. It's what your prospects are craving. They want hope of a better future. Now, the challenge is that they're stuck in their comfort zone, as I've talked about with the model of the authentic persuasion pathway, and they are in their comfort zone. There's something they want. There's something that is outside of their comfort zone that could be valuable to them, but it requires change, and change is dangerous to our primal brains, to our amygdala, to that part of us that's just afraid of change, that just wants to survive by sticking to what we know and do, and the comforts of the known versus the dangers and the risks of the unknown. And so that's what you're up against. Hope is such an important thing to give to your prospects. Now, you don't want to be over fluffing the hope or over motivational speaker on stage and like, this is going to be great. And where there's a will, there's a way. You know, it's not that. It's more about, you have this issue. I see how I can help you. Now, the only way to succeed at the hope step is actually understanding what it is they want and need and why they want and need it, and that they're obviously qualified as a customer, right? Because I'm talking about considered purchases where not everybody wins. It's something where you have to determine if somebody's going to be a good fit or not. Do they qualify or not? And then if so, let's go from there. So prior to this step, you have to know what it is that somebody wants and why they want it at the deepest level. Why do they want or need what it is that you're selling? When you know that, and then you go through the trust step where you help build credibility about why you are their guide and why you can help them get there, then the next step is hope, which is, all right, so based on what you said, based on your current situation, based on what and why you want what I have to offer, here's how it's going to help you. And when we did the mystery shopping, one of the categories is how well did they make me feel? How long did the salesperson make my team feel about having the solution that I need and want? And there was about a little under 10% were fives, so on a 1 through 5 scale. About a third were fours. 19% were in the 3 out of 5, and then 38% were a 2, and nobody was a 1. And why is that? Why did that happen where so many were a 2 and then 3, right? We're talking about over 50% are 2s and 3s. The reason why is so many salespeople, when they get to this mode, they're basically just selling and pitching their product or service the way they would do to everybody all the same way, all the time, and not making it feel special to us. Remember, you're dealing with two things. Your prospect is in the center of their comfort zone, and they're afraid of change. If they weren't afraid of change, they would have already bought from you. Now, they could have a lot of fear, they could have a little fear, but at some point, they're hesitating and resisting change. The other part is that they also think they're the center of the universe. We all do. I talk about this all the time. And you have to realize that they only care about themselves and they need everything to be about them. So important. The hope step, when it's done right, it's all about here's what I have that will help you and your situation with your goals and what you're looking for. A skilled, successful sales professional is not just saying, here's what we sell and here's how it could help, but here's what it's going to do for you and here's why I think as your guide, this is the most important thing for you and this is the best thing for you. A lot of times in sales, what happens is people will not be so focused. On one side, they'll just do a one size fits all and they just get into the mode and desensitize and forget that everybody's different and everybody wants it in their own custom way and they'll just sell the same way. And then on the other side, they feel like it might come across wrong if I am too assertive and assumptive and focused on why this will help you. Right? Because from their experiences, a lot of salespeople as customers in the world, they've had that done to them, but usually by old school manipulating salespeople. And so that it feels gross and weird. But when it's done right, it shouldn't. The second category, and I'll explain why in a second. The second part here is to understand that a lot of times this happens too early. It's the same thing I talked about in the trust step on the previous episode of this series, is that a lot of times people jump straight into the solution way too early and start talking about what it is that they can do, and maybe even before they've asked questions and really got to know their situation, right? How can you tell me what's going to be best for me if you don't even know me and you haven't even found out anything about me? Now, if that's the case and you do that and you put that prospective customer in that situation, then essentially what you've done now is you've made it a commodity where the customer is now choosing whether they want to move forward and you are now purely an order taker, which not always the bad thing. You can't be in charge of every conversation with every customer, but the key is to understand that's what you're doing to yourself. If you just go straight into the pitch, if you go straight into what your solution does for somebody without understanding their situation, then you're a commodity. You're putting it all on them, and now they're in charge of the whole process, and you're just an order taker waiting for them. And that's the bad hope, the one I started in this conversation. Here's the thing. Keep this in mind, is what would your doctor do? If you had a issue. You had some problem. You had a pain in your side, and you go into the doctor's office and you say, I have a pain in my side. They say, okay, sounds good. This is what I give everybody. Here's the medication I give to everybody, right? This should take care of it, right? No, they wouldn't do that. That would be malpractice. They would be in a lot of trouble for a one-size-fits-all solution, no matter what it is. Even if we hate the tests and the poking and the prodding and all that stuff, and we're like, please, I looked it up online. I saw on the internet. It is what it is. They're still not going to listen to you because they have a duty and a responsibility, and they took an oath, and they'd be in a lot of trouble. So instead, what do? They go through their process. They go through their exam, right? Kind of like what we're talking about with our steps here. Then they get to the hope step, which is, all right, so based on what I found, here's what you have. Here is your issue. Here's your diagnosis, and then here's your prescription, and here's what you need to do, and then here's how this is going to help. And so that's the key order, and that's why this step is so important and why it needs to be done here in the fourth place and why it has to be all about them. So hopefully that helps. Make sure to do your hope step correctly as you're building out your sales process, as you're having conversations, no matter what, even if you sell something where it's literally the same thing for every single person, right? That's basically a one-size-fits-all. There's really only one program. Always make sure you're helping your prospective customers, your future customers and clients, understand how it will help them, how it applies to them, what's in it for them, why it's important to them. When you do that, then the rest of it is easy. So don't miss that step. Last part we're going to talk about in the next episode, the final episode in the series. We're going to talk about the most important step, the last step in the authentic persuasion pathway, urgency, why urgency is not the problem, why urgency is done wrong so often, and then why urgency is the most important and critical step that if you want to be a sales professional and you want to be successful, you need to make sure you master the urgency step. So I will see you in the next episode.